in the scriptures. You know, superfluity is abundance or the overflowing of worthlessness or of bad. You know, we're supposed to lay apart this springing forth of bad, of not good things. Receive with meekness that engrafted word. That means implanted as a seed. Remember, he had said in the previous verse, he begat us. He put his seed into us. Paul says of Christ, I labor, I travail until Christ be formed in you. The seed of God is put in you that it could grow up into a man, Christ. That's such an analogy to Abraham's faith and that seed being planted, and then he had Isaac. For us, it is Christ formed in us. We too are barren. We too are sinful. We too cannot perform the works of God. But he puts the seed of Christ in us, which enables us to be doers. So we go away from this word, believing the word, and we fulfill the word. And if we do not fulfill it, we look to fulfill it. You know, if we haven't fulfilled all those things yet, this isn't set here to discourage you. This is set here as a promise. This is set here to encourage you, to exhort you. Be a doer. And now when I say be a doer, don't go away and say, I can't be a doer. Now you're like that man looking in the mirror. I can't do that. You walk away from the word and you forget, oh, I am a Christian. And you perform all kinds of deeds which prove that you're not a Christian. You perform all kinds of things that show that you are not the seed of Christ. Because if the seed of God remained in you, you would not sin. If the seed of God remained in you, you would obtain godliness, righteousness, temperance, patience, kindness and love. You would have all those things added to your faith. Because faith also, hey, you got to be a doer of faith. You can't just be a hearer of faith. I heard I got to have faith. You've got to be a doer of faith. You have to actually have faith. Now, faith is not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That's from Ephesians also. And if I reference it, you should go find it if you haven't already studied it. If you don't already know, yeah, Paul, you're right. It says that. I love this. Make sure the word is able to save your soul. How is the word able to save? Why does word save us? Because in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word is the word that contains the promises. The promises are things like be a doer of the word and not a hearer. Now, when you read that, you believe that word. I will be. So since I am of God, I'm not going to be a doer, a hearer and not a doer. I'm going to be a doer. And you actually receive that promise. And what happens is now you believe that promise. And God performs it. He makes you a doer of it. He creates that in you. It is him that we are created in Christ Jesus under good works. He worketh in us to will and do his good pleasure. We are not like men looking in the mirror and not remembering who we are when we walk off. Was I white or black? Was I Mexican? Or Puerto Rican? Was I Canadian? Or Hawaiian? You know, you don't know what kind of person you were. Was I tall? Was I short? Was I fat? Was I thin? I can't remember. That's what it's like when you hear the word but don't do it. As Jesus said, any man that heareth the word, these words of mine, these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, he is like a man who built his house on the sand, and the rain came, and the winds blew, and they blew that house away. But he that does them is like a man that builds his house on a rock, and it stands, and the wind, and the rain, and the storm. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Well, why would James, if James supposedly is speaking to some sort of legalistic or, you know, works-based salvation, why would he talk about the perfect law of liberty? Liberty is freedom. That's like something right out of Paul. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. Believe me, by faith and continuance in the truth and in righteousness, we obtain the promises of God. The Apostle Paul said, hey, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace shall reign through righteousness unto eternal life. That's Romans chapter 5, the last verse, verse 21. Grace reigns through righteousness. If you look into the perfect law of liberty, see, because the only really perfect law is that law of liberty, freedom. What does it mean? Freedom to do whatever you want? Because there's different kinds of freedoms. No, it's freedom to do everything that God says his children will do. It's the law that makes us free. Here it is. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant does not abide in the house forever. Meaning, if you sin, if you are the servant of sin, you cannot inherit eternal life. But the Son abideth forever. So you have to be made conformed to the image of his Son. Then you will inherit eternal life. That's what that means. This is from John chapter 8. You can look it up. But the interpretation is the important part here. But the Son abideth forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Not in a theoretical sense, not in a metaphysical sense, meaning God just looks at you as being free from sin. No, you are really free. Free from sin. Free from unrighteousness. Free from ungodliness. But free also to do righteousness. Free to do godliness. Because sin makes you subject to bondage. You're bound to sin. I'm bound to sin. I know I'm going to sin. It's going to happen. People say, I know I'm going to sin again. Those words testify. When people confess those things, it testifies that they're in bondage. They're not in liberty. They're following the law of the Old Testament. They're trying to obtain the promises of God by their works. If they're trying to obtain the promises of God at all. Because they'll say, I got to give God faith so I can obtain the promises. But those who do obtain the promises, obtain them by having them given to them. God seeks me out. He implants the word in me. He causes me to have faith. He causes me to endure temptation so that I grow in patience and waiting and I seek further and I'm diligent. And he creates all these things in me. It's a process of creation that God is putting his sons through to make them something. It's marvelous. It's amazing. And all through it, it's like we're not like, he's making hot fudge sundaes. I mean, he's making these impressive, relatively speaking, impressive beings. I mean, because we're humans are very impressed with themselves. And they're all going to perish. And you think of what God is making his sons into, it's amazing. Now, could he have made them like that to begin with? Sure. But he took counsel in himself. And he made a decision. This is how I'm going to do it.